Hello and welcome to Real Professional, the podcast where real professionals have really professional conversations. I'm DreadXP Rock on Tour, Jans Holstrom, today joined by Abby Smith, aka Scruncho. Say hi, Abby.
Hey, yo.
Also joined by Ted Hinchke. Say hi, Ted.
Hello.
And our guest today is a developer that I'm very much fond of. It's Cody Reeder, aka Phantom Sloth. Say hi, Cody.
Hello.
So we have the normal crew today and Cody, and I think it's going to be a good show. So DJ, drop that sick beat. I can't start without Ted making the mouth sounds.
Thanks. I do pretty good at the mouth sounds.
Yeah, I look forward to that. So you
guys, how's your backup, Ted?
I was impressed.
Thank you. I've been practicing it for over 2 years. Yeah, but no. Yeah, sorry. I keep interrupting you, Jans. Go.
I'm sorry. It's okay. Do you guys want your gamer safety update?
I do.
It's what I live for. Every week, like, I can't wait till the next gamer safety update.
You know, one of the previous gamer safety updates, you had mentioned throwing controllers, and the very next day I'd seen this, like, TikTok where somebody put, like, the controller inside, like, this safety device, and then it made an example of throwing that. It was, like, an inflatable. It made me think of you. I just wanted you to know about that.
I appreciate that. Was it, like, the Wii condom? I think that's what we called it in that episode.
Right. Oh, those things were great. I have like a ton of those. The see-through ones.
Yeah, the Wii condoms. They're
yeah.
Someone's going to find one of those in a garage sale in like 15 years and be like, what the fuck was going on in this house?
Right. It's going to be all discolored, though, and like yellow.
Ew.
Maybe a little like crust flaking off. Oh. On the end.
I can't wait to watch, like, a YouTube restoration channel, like, restore an old Wii condom. So, our gamer safety update this week. Who here has good posture whenever they're on the computer for hours at a time, which I know we all are?
I try, but I fail many times.
Yeah, I'm more of, like, a curved spine. I'm in the curved spine gang.
Yeah,
I'm a scoliosis, bro.
I set up this whole, like... I have a giant whiteboard in my office that like tilts and everything, and I set it up to be like a standing desk, and then I started getting like a lot of like sharp pain in my back after a while, so like I switched back to my regular desk, and now I'm starting to get more pain, and I'm like, oh my god, I don't know what to do.
I'm so conflicted.
So slouching at your desk in your chair while comfortable could be deadly. There is a rising number of cases of people suffering from collapsed lungs from sitting slouched for long periods of time. So whenever you're slouched forward, it can allow fluid to build up around the lung, which can, over time, collapse your lung without warning.
How fat do I have to be for that to happen?
That's fucking awful, dude.
It happens to people of all weights, Ted. It could happen to Abby. It could happen to... I was going to say Cleveland, but he's not here. Cody. It can happen to anybody, and it's just that position for a long period of time is not good for your body.
Is that what got Young King Dave?
It might have been. He was smoking doinks with Amish, and all of a sudden he was playing Call of Duty and his lungs collapsed.
Yeah, I mean, that guy was also, like, unreasonably enormous.
Yeah, he's like 550 pounds.
Yeah, I'm not fat-shaming. He was like 500-some.
But this might be a dumb question, but like, can one revive said collapsed lungs if it happened? Like, are you insta dead, or do you have like a period of time like holding up your lungs like flabby boobies until you get to the hospital?
Why, Abby? When a lung collapses, do you think it comes out of the body? You said like hold it up. In what scenario?
No, like. Like, you know, if it, like, collapses, like, maybe you gotta, like, hold up your chest a little bit, you know, like... Oh, you get some like finger action
like
in
could
there?
Could you like squeeze your chest cavity together to like relieve?
Yeah, that's. I know it's kind of hard because you know there's this thing called a rib cage that's supposed to cover your lungs. I mean, I don't want to shame anyone if you don't have a rib cage, but most people have rib cages. So like, I don't know. Does it? It can. Can you help yourself?
Abby is the only non-fat person in the room. Is like, can't you just put your fingers up below your rib cage and like repop out your lungs like the rest of us with like guts? Or like, I haven't been able to.
I'm doing it right now. I'm trying to test it and like squeeze myself to see if I can like, you know, maybe wiggle a finger in between a rib and like help myself. I don't know. Like, is it possible?
Feel your ribs.
I love Abby. Abby. I love that Abby is game planning for a collapsed rib. She's like, okay, let's see here. If I put this here. Okay, so, I know, right? I'd be screwed. The actual medical thing that you have to do is you put your thumb in your mouth and you blow real hard.
They're like balloons!
And it just pops them back into...
Aww.
No, I'm just kidding. So normally what we think of whenever we think of a collapsed lung, it's not like fully non-functioning. It is still connected. You're just not getting as much air as you need to, and it's not something that's going to kill you instantly. You can go to the ER and just tell them, you know, I think my lung collapsed, and they're like, okay. And they essentially just, like, blow your lungs back up and be like, get out of here, you scamp. Quit playing video games wrong.
Go outside, damn it.
That's concerning.
See, I have good posture because right now my desk is over at the house I'm renovating, so I use my couch. So I'm either sitting like straight backed in my couch or laying on my couch. And laying, there's no danger of collapsed lung while you're laying.
Well, then.
If you're just laying down comfortably, so safe, so comfortable.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's what got Young King Dave.
That's what, laying on his couch got Young King Dave?
I mean, I think he did. I said he died in his sleep of a collapsed lung. So, like, I don't know what kind of vigorous physical activity he was doing there. I don't know. I'm not a Young King Dave historian.
It might have been, what's that thing called? They have CPAP machines for it, where you stop breathing in your sleep.
Well, a CPAP machine is the thing they have for it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't.
Sleep apnea.
It was probably, like, a really bad sleep apnea attack. And it collapses.
Yeah, I have sleep apnea, and I've never died from it.
Is there somebody like?
Are you sure?
Could we get like a friend of Young King Dave to come on the podcast and answer all of our Young King Dave questions?
Oh my god, get the witch! She can do a little ceremony, and we can talk to Young King Dave.
Oh yeah, we could get the staff witch who.
Staff witch.
Yeah, and her primal mysticism toppled Polish fortune telling. That was a cool week.
Yeah. And to be clear, I'm talking about Luna, not Abby. Abby's a shaman. They're different.
That's not necessarily true. You can be a witch and a shaman, actually.
You can be both, but like you wouldn't say that a witch is necessarily a shaman, right?
Yeah, you would, actually.
All witches are shamans?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's like a different path that you can do. But there's shamanistic like witchcraft is what I'm trying to say. And yeah, you can still be you just focus on like shamanism.
Which points do you put into the skill tree for that?
Right. Is this like resto shaman versus fuck? What are the other shaman skill trees?
Can you turn into a bear? I think is what we're all wondering.
It is kind of like picking classes because there are things called like green witches and there are kitchen witches. There are all kinds of witches. Witches is very very broad. So next time we talk to Luna, you'll have to ask her what kind of witch she is because there are different kinds of witches.
Yeah, dude, didn't you watch Sleepy Hollow? Like there was good witchcraft and bad witchcraft.
And there's the Cody mark.
I can say with 100% certainty that I have never watched an episode of Sleepy.
Whoa, I was not talking about no show, man. I'm talking about Johnny Depp.
The movie. You know? Yeah, it's a banging movie.
Yeah. Oh, it's been so long. Christina Ricci's pieces and Johnny Depp, Christopher Walken is the Headless Horseman in that one. It's an okay movie, yeah.
Right. Rah! That's all he does through the whole movie, just rah!
Oh yeah, he doesn't talk, he just has sharp teeth and he just screams. That's the probably the best Christopher Walken.
It role. Is, yeah, that is pretty high up there. Although I would say the one that I would put over it is either the Rundown or Mouse Hunt.
Oh yeah, he's in Mouse Hunt. He's the
yeah the mouse kills him. Oh well, it doesn't kill him. They like sends him into a crazy spin.
I'm just thinking about the mouse murdering him now, and I'm like, wait, did the mouse kill him? Like, no, it just drug him through the house.
Yeah, like, brutally attacks him and then leaves a shit on his lips, which is pretty great.
That movie is super violent.
Yeah, right? And it's still somehow labeled somewhat as a kid's movie, but, like, it is incredibly violent.
I'm hella old, but I watched that movie in theaters.
I think I just missed that one in theaters. That or I chose not to go. Man, I saw Titanic in theaters.
Damn. I would love to talk about Mouse Hunt and Titanic for this whole hour. I really would.
Me too.
But we probably need to talk about like the stuff that you do, Cody.
I do
lots of stuff. Yeah, you're a game developer. You're a 3D modeler. You worked on current game du jour Inscription.
Yeah. I did a bunch of the hologram assets in Inscription, bunch of like the key detail hologram stuff. There was like a handful of ones that I favored over others. Like there's a parchment that has like a scroll ends, like it's all rolled up and everything, and then like a feather pen with it. And I have a screenshot on my Twitter of like five different variations of it, because I didn't know like how complex Daniel was going to want it, which working with Daniel Mullins was fantastic. Like every single time he wanted something done, he would just like send me a screenshot of like a little, you know, quick drawing that he put together. And then like 45 minutes to an hour later, I'd send him the model and he'd be like, wow, this is exactly what I wanted. So it was super easy to work with him.
So how long have you, how'd you get in with Dan Mullins?
Actually through you guys, through Dread. So when we were doing DreadX Collection 2, we had that big meeting, you know, right at the start talking about like, what's everybody's concept for the games and everything. And, you know, we were going through all the pitches, and when we were going through the pitches, Daniel had pitched Solipsis and everything, and I was like, wow, that's super cool. Like, I can't wait to see that like come to fruition. And during the development, I kept like pestering him, and I was like, yo, dude, like, you need 3D models, right? Like, what kind of 3D models you got? And then he had sent me a drawing of this little like fat robot, like a little round robot. And he's like, yeah, dude, in like a couple of weeks or whatever, you know, just like, you know, do this little asset and then send it back to me and, you know, we'll talk. And that's not quite how I roll. So like an hour later, I sent it back to him as the full model. And he was just like floored. He was like, wow, I literally have never had somebody work like that quickly. And I was like, yeah, dude, like, come on, like, let's talk more. Like, I like your ideas. And he was like, yeah, absolutely. Let's get through Dread first, man, focus. And I was like, yeah, cool. And then he actually did hit me up, which I was somewhat surprised about, but yeah. And then, you know, just hit the floor running, doing as many as I could for him.
I'm glad to hear that Dread XP is bringing people together.
Look, guys, yeah, we're doing something. We're doing
well,
something.
I mean, technically during that same time, I also, there was a couple of people I was bugging, but one of the other teams I was bugging was the Scythe dev team. And I kept saying, like, what do you guys need? And I think, I can't even remember what it was. I think it was like a vent or something. And, you know, I made like one little thing and they didn't even need it or something. And they're like, we'll keep you in mind for future stuff, which I, again, did not think was, you know, going to happen or whatever, being like the newbie or whatever. It was just kind of like the go away. But yeah, they hit me up later and they were like, yo, dude, like, we found ourselves in a really tight spot with Happy Sumble, and we want, you know, somebody that has a bit of talent to hit up these models, which basically was an entire city in like, I think it was 2 weeks. And I had built out like the entire city for them. And they ended up restructuring it for the game later. And then they hit me back up and were like, yo, like, actually you did really good with these, with the city and everything. So we want to bring you on to do, a couple of the main sections for when Charlie attacks, in the game, which if you haven't played Happy's is the big chicken, mascot. So he like goes to attack you, and there's like a power room, and there's a like a big cage room and stuff. And I basically designed all those out and like threw an Easter egg in there and stuff. So it was like, it was a lot of fun working with them. Great time.
You know, Cody, I'm a little offended. Was my team the only team you didn't reach out to on the second collection to make models for? Like, what's
technically, I offered to everybody all at once in that meeting. I'm like, yo, dude, who needs it? And then, you know, some people responded, some people didn't. But whoever made a nod towards being like, maybe, I was like, yo, I'm down your throat and I'm sorry, but I need to be.
Wow. Yeah, I should have been like, Cody, yeah, come hang out.
That is one thing I've noticed about the game, the indie games industry anyway, because that's pretty much the only people I talk with. Whenever someone says like, oh yeah, I'll circle back around, like if I need your assistance, I'll hit you up. Like, they mean that shit. Like, I actually have a Scythe dev team story. John, their music guy, hit me up.
John of the Shred.
Yeah, hit me up about some voice work for Happy's. And I was like, yeah, man, no problem. And he's like, well, let me figure this out and I'll circle back around. And, you know, I'll hit you up if I figure out what I need you for. And I was like, yeah, man, go for it. Like, 2 months later, he hits me with like a full ass script. And it's like, okay, here's your part. So, yeah, I am. And I think Ted is too. Abby might be. I think everyone in the indie games industry is in Happy's Humble.
Yeah, right. I was like, oh shit, I should probably play it. I need to like get around to it. I'm
yeah, I'm a little ways into it. I'm reviewing it for the site, and I'm digging what I've played so far. My review slate is full, and I love that. But
it's good, man.
Oh yeah,
I watched a handful of streams. Seems like the average playthrough is like 6 hours roughly. But yeah, I mean, the responses are so good. I legitimately can't get enough of watching those streams.
So for the work you did for them, you got revenue sharing, right?
Oh no!
I'm gonna keep messing with Cody because, you know, he did work on Inscription. He seems to do modeling for these projects that ended up popping off, and I think we can say unequivocally, it is Cody's work that makes these games so good.
Oh, you're right. He's like the lucky star.
He's the secret sauce that's bringing these games together.
Yeah, the special sauce that nobody can put their finger on, but
oh no, there. The secret ingredient is obvious. It's just I'm really good at moral support. I'm like, hey man, keep going. You can do it. You go ahead and do that. You do it.
That's true. He does do that well.
Dan Mullen's like 4 a.m. calling Cody up on his cell phone. He's like, man, I don't know if I can do this Inscription anymore. Cody's like, no, it's gonna be really good, dog. I'll do some 3D models for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great testament to your work that, you know, you worked on Inscription, because Dan Mullins is a very meticulous man. Like, there is nothing that goes into his games, or he does not compromise, nor is nothing, there's no piece of the game that is not intentional, and that's what's really amazing about him.
Yeah, I would 100% agree to that. Like, all of the models that I gave him, you know, he served a wonderful purpose of, like, background element, like, to bring it all together. You know, like, I wouldn't say I had necessarily, like, major hero assets, you know, but the main ones that kind of tied everything together achieved it well. Mm-hmm. I would say my favorite of them was probably the big robot, which I think... people, I'm not sure if he named it or if the fan base named it, but it was like PO3, I think they went with, which is now unfortunately being heavily sexualized. but I loved making that robot. Also, there's like a Grim Reaper looking asset that holds a folder that's really cool too. And I like that one a lot. That I also did one of the hologram assets for that. Sorry, I went off on a tangent.
That's what podcasts are for. To let you go, you're our guest. You can go off on as many tangents as you'd like. But yeah, people sexualizing your creations is just one of those side effects of the internet we all just have to deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's zero porn for Sucker for Love.
Oh, yeah, nothing. Can't find nothing. We're all 34, whatever.
Well, it's so funny because I was actually talking to a music licensor earlier today about a song that we're putting in the game, and I don't want to say which because the contract isn't finalized yet, but it's an older song, like from like the 50s. And I was talking to him and I was like, hey man, like, you know, we really like the song and we really want to put it in the game. The guy I was talking to was older and he's like, yeah, you know, he's a rights holder to all these older songs. And in my initial pitch, I had to explain to him what we're going to use it for, what the context would be. And in the pitch, I was like, there's a visual novel about dating Lovecraftian girls. There's no sexual content in it. Like, the most mature thing you do is smooch. And when I was talking to him, he was like, yeah, I really appreciate that. You know, I think it's good that there's no sexual content. And I was like, I will warn you, though, that, like, on Twitter, people do make shit. And he's like, dude, I've been in the industry for, like, decades. Like, I'm well aware. Like, you don't have to explain that to me. But yeah, there's nothing you can do about it as long as it's not in the official materials. I'm like, oh yeah, no. That's like, we're not making anything pornographic here. But other people on the internet want to do that. And he's like, yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can do about that.
Endlessly. And it's so shocking as to like what people choose to sexualize.
Yeah, basically. I understand it like from a comedic standpoint.
Like, yeah,
I think it's like super funny, like the subreddit for like dragons fucking cars, you know, like this is like a whole subreddit of dragons having sex with cars. That shit's hilarious. Like, but then you always have to wonder, like, hey, where did this come from?
Well, somebody has to start with some kind of like fetish piece towards it, right? Like, because most jokes are going to be like scratch art, not very good, and then there's going to like. It's going to activate that primal instinct for somebody where it's like, ah, fucking dragons, fucking cars, it's man.
Like, yeah, imagine you're the guy that's like sees that for the first time and he's like, oh my God, I'm finally seen.
The general rule of thumb is every bit of like ironic porn has a very non-ironic fetish behind it. Like the progenitor is always going to be someone's very specific non-ironic fetish. The internet takes it and goes, actually, this is hilarious.
Oh, you know, and speaking of internet and how it likes to see things, I was working on this 3D model for a character yesterday, and I went to send my team the update on it, and Discord was like, no, that's porn. That's clearly porn, what you're trying to send to your team. And like I fought with it for several minutes before I gave up and sent it in a private message to somebody. But apparently it was really good. Discord is really good at detecting a butt on a character.
That's interesting. Cause like when we were doing our dev check-in one time, we were sharing some like the developer Sucker for Love was sharing like some screenshots, and it was just like, it had no sexual content at all. Like not even close. And it marked it as inappropriate, and so he had to like work on some like back way in order to send it through. It was really weird.
It didn't even have the Eldritch girls in it. It was of the protagonist. Yeah, it wasn't even character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was nothing like mature about it, I'd say. Like nothing. So it's really I wonder like how they actually flag those things.
Discord's weird.
Are you?
Go ahead, Cody.
Mm-hmm. Are you actively marketing right now while in the podcast?
Oh, you know what? Sucker for Love. That's a great. Wow, Cody, thank you so much for mentioning Sucker for Love. Yeah.
I mean, like, the 10 banging haunted PS1 horror games. Like, are you actively promoting other things like while we're
Abby just promoted her
YouTube. Damn, Abby.
And various different Discords while we're recording the
podcast. Whenever we started.
I have...
Oh, go ahead, Abby. Go ahead. Defend yourself.
I have to do three things. For this job, I need to be doing three things all at once. Ted knows. Jans knows. We all know it. It's nothing to be ashamed of, I swear.
Now, my job is to take the previews that Abby has made of her banging new video and put them on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and those places. And I told Abby at the beginning of this recording, like, whenever we sat down, I was like, oh, hey, I see that you've linked me those. As soon as we're done talking with our good friend Cody, who I'm going to give my undivided attention to, I'll make sure those get on the proper social channels.
I appreciate that, Jans.
Nah. You know, I'm so good at multitasking, though, that I am so 100% present, and I can still type things with my feet and clean things with my butt, you know? I can do it all at once.
Oh. So, Cody, you had... We're talking about haunted PS1 games that that Abby is promoting right now. You recently had, for the summer of Shivers Jam, you had a game come out that I very much enjoyed called The Bends.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys... Abby, Ted, did you play The Bends?
I've seen some footage of it, but I have not
played it. I was going to make the joke that I don't play video games, but then Abby, like, didn't play it. So, yes, I have played The Bends.
You actually played it.
I played most of the HPS1 games.
Yeah. How far did you get in? Did you actually die more than once, or did you give up right away?
No, I mean, I didn't get to the secret stuff, like the content with Jans or whatever, but I played through it.
Well, now that there's Jans content, I definitely won't actually sit down and play. Yeah, that's fine.
I'll tell anybody who wants to play The Bends, if you click the radio button, what was it, 91 times, Cody?
I think it was 90, either 90 or 91, yeah.
Yeah, if you click the broken radio button 91 times, you get to hear me talk about things.
Which people definitely would do.
Yeah,
so,
the listeners of this podcast are like, oh, I just listened to him for an hour. I need more, though. So you can go download The Bends. Mm-hmm. And
we don't blame you.
Our QA head and art guy, Cleveland, is like one of the main characters of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the disembodied, helpful voice from above.
He's good at that. Old Clonklin's really good at that, being a helpful
voice.
Doing
his best Sean Connery. For the entirety of The Bends.
Man, like, a bunch of people that I talked to were really happy with his performance. And then there was this one person that left a comment that was like, there was a terrible fake accent. And I was really mad. And I was like, no. And, like, I refused to let him see it. Oh, he's going to hear this now. I feel bad.
Oh, you spilled the beans.
But yeah, I mean... I really enjoyed the performance, for sure.
Yeah, I thought it was solid. It didn't. He did what a good voice actor can do and make himself not sound like himself.
Well, I mean, more importantly, and I would even say most importantly, was the fact that the lines I gave him were not good in any way, and like. Yeah, you know, he kept sending the script back and was like, yo, I'm just going to, we're gonna do that. And I'm like, yeah, dude, do that. Thank you.
So while I have a platform to expose you on, you did that for the Summer of Shivers Jam, but you have not entered the Dread XP Dredge the Dips Jam, which seems curious to me.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff happening for me, man. I was talking to... Duckenheimer, do you know who that is?
I do, he made Working Title.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, he's super cool. He doesn't have enough followers, so whoever hears this, go on Twitter and follow Duckenheimer. He's great. But yeah, basically, I was talking to him earlier about basically the jam, and he was like, yeah, I got this idea, and I was like, that sounds really good, and he's like, are you gonna enter? And I'm sitting there, like, looking at my whiteboard that's just, like, full of stuff. And I'm like, I probably shouldn't.
I mean, it looks like it's going to be a fun one. We've got a bunch of people that already entered. And it just keeps coming in. Like, I keep getting all these notifications from...
It's super exciting. Like, everybody that's trying to join it, it looks very exciting. I want to be part of it. That's what sucks the most.
Yeah, it looks like, I mean, there's a lot of people that, I mean, that's the thing though, is that like, I think we're going to probably be doing more of these in the future. Like, I mean, it's pretty fun and it's been a really great opportunity for our community to like kind of come together and make something. So yeah, it's been fun.
There are, I mean, it's nice that we have a lot of first time devs. Like, I'm joining the jam with my limited knowledge and making a game. I don't know if I've told anybody wonderful. That yet, but I've started preliminary work on something.
Awesome.
And I mean, I'm not... I look at stuff like Haunted PS1's jams, and I dig that. I dig what they do. I want to preface this by saying I really enjoy the things that Haunted PS1 is doing, and that the developers that work for them, Cody included, are all excellent people, the ones that I've interacted with. But... their jams, you know, with having the Haunted PS1 name, everything's got that crunchy PS1 look. And I wanted to do something with Dread XP, my lovely employers, that broadened that scope away from just the PS1 aesthetic. An aesthetic that I love, but sometimes I want to try something or play something different.
Yeah. I think one of the things is, like, I do have a small grip of fans that follow me for the Haunted, you know, PS1 style stuff that I do make. But there's, you know, as a 3D artist, I want to try and push myself to make really visually high fidelity based objects. And when you're working on Haunted PS1 games, the crunchy is key. And, you know, it's not exactly using my skill set. So it does, unfortunately, damper things when I do work on some of them. But, you know, there's a lot of great filters and everything that kind of, like, you know, fix it or whatever. But with that said, there, like, even looking at something like the bins, if I wanted to, you know, entertain that idea that I had about making the expanded version Iron Lung, then I could technically take away that filter and make it, you know, high fidelity like it is, because all those assets and everything in there are actually quite pretty. They're just, you know, using a filter to look crunchy. But, you know, just thinking out loud, I guess.
I have a mildly serious question about Haunted PS1, kind of in general. With, you know, a lot of these conventions and expos going full online, do you think things like the, their EEC3? Showcase, you think things like that are kind of filling the space left by these bigger conventions? And to wit, does that provide more exposure for the indie devs out there?
So yes and no. It is great to see, you know, groups kind of banding together and doing this kind of thing. Even Dread, you know, doing this thing where you guys are raising awareness for pretty much anybody that's trying to be a creative individual and everything. And it's great to see people having that light shined on them. However, like, I myself, like I had mentioned with my art style and everything, if I post something that I personally really like for example, for anybody that follows me, I made a pair of like robot hands, basically like rotating around like this glowing girl who's dancing. And it was just something that I personally really liked in terms of its presentation and in using the camera work that I was doing for it. But like posting that, you know, on like my Twitter and like other places, it did really well. And then I would post that into like Haunted PS1. And because it wasn't like that crunchy aesthetic, a lot of people just kind of, you know, like shoot it away. And I was like, yeah, I mean, that it feels like, to give these individuals, you know, this big of a voice is a little bit concerning, in other words, because it can choose who to highlight. And that's a little bit scary. And I do think that there's somewhat more of an intention of fairness from somebody like, for example, I'm going to probably mispronounce the name, but Jeff Keighley in, you know, the Game Awards, you know, there's a not only the social voice, but there's like selected, curated choices being made, as opposed to it be, again, you know, five individuals that are choosing. I don't want to say power tripping, but you know what I mean.
So it's kind of an issue of adherence to a certain visual aesthetic can at times become more of an identity than a stylistic choice.
Yeah, when we look at, you know, games, there's, you know, so many different styles and unique things out there and everything. Just the same as, like, if I were to, like, simplify it with, like, tattoos, you know, there's, like, a thousand different types of tattoos that you can get, but there's, you know, very specific genres of, like, what you can actually, you know, artistically draw in. And to, like, be a judge in that field and be like, oh, I only like new school tattoos, and then to judge everything else as crap or whatever, or not give it, you know, that fair shot, it makes those artists not want to go in that style and perfect that style, but rather change themselves and fall into the natural. And that's, I feel, disappointing. But again, this would be like nitpicking, I suppose. Maybe I'm just being too particular.
Yeah, I think that it's perfectly fine to build a community around an aesthetic. I love the PS1 aesthetic because it's kind of like the thing right now. Because a lot of us,
oh yeah, and it's great.
Yeah, are of the age that we grew up with. You know, other than Abby, who's 14, we all kind of grew up with that crunchy PS1 aesthetic, and I love to see a group of people bringing it and modernizing it for a new audience, and I hope it stays going for a while.
But at the same time, I think with that said, like, I myself, like, you know, we had mentioned it earlier, I'm just slightly younger than you, right? So, like, there was slight differences in terms of, like, how I was raised when it came to having more time on, say, like, the Xbox, the original Xbox and or, like, Dreamcast, mostly because of, like, money things. But there's a noticeable difference in terms of the assets from, like, a Dreamcast or an original Xbox game to that crunchy PlayStation 1 aesthetic. And, and you know, like, I personally love, an original Xbox game. Like, those style games really hit it home for me. And, you know, I feel like if I were to, like, put a ton of time into a game that met that style, I feel like I would get a lot of feedback that would be like, oh, I should have just been a little bit more crunchy or something, you know? And it's just like, that's, mm-hmm. I don't know. It can be disappointing or discouraging in a way.
I'm wondering whenever someone's going to build up the courage to make a haunted PS2, Dreamcast, or original Xbox type game, because that is, yeah, like you were saying, completely visually different than the original PS1, but I'm excited to see people start to kind of lean into that style as time goes on and it becomes more of a retro nostalgia thing.
People don't love the Dreamcast enough for that, and I hate my life every day because of it.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, Don't you talk shit about the Dreamcast, Abby.
No, the Dreamcast is one of my favorite consoles, and it's super underrated.
I still have three of them.
Cody.
Hey, that's one for buddy. Me, Abby, and you, Cody.
Yeah, look, we can all play. We can all play next to each other.
Unfortunately, one of them is the black Sega Sports Edition, so it can't play burned games. So one of you are screwed. I'm sorry for that.
It's fine.
The best thing about a Dreamcast nowadays.
As long as I can play Power Stone, I don't have a care in the world. So I've been talking a lot, Abby, Ted. Where you at? Where's my backup?
I am chilly. When I get chilly, I get it's harder for me to focus. It's so funny because, like, I keep trying to think about things to talk about, but they're all, like, projects that we're currently working on.
He just wants to talk about Total War, and I told him not to do that right before this meeting, so he's kind of in a pickle right now.
And she's like, go fuck yourself, Ted. I'm like, she's so mean.
I would never do such a thing.
Pretty rock salty of you, Abby.
Super. I'm really rock salty about it.
What is up with the rock salty thing? Can somebody explain this to me?
It's the coolest new lingo for
the new phrase.
Yeah, for the indie game devs and indie game community. We're all rock salty.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're really like, it's like, okay, you know when you're like pissed about something and you weren't expecting to be pissed about it? Like, it's not like a long term being pissed. You're like, you know, you're just, like, kind of surprised with how pissed you are. You're like, I'm rock salty about this. It's, like, a way to say, like, I'm salty. Like, I'm a little bit upset, but, like, like, you know, you understand that it's inflated. It can also mean that you're really excited, like a deer that sees rock salt and is like, nom, 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 nom. But then you got to do the tongue thing. You'd be like, I'm rock salty. Nom, 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 nom.
I don't know, guys. I feel like sometimes I feel like I'm the old person here. And I don't understand it.
You're being rock salty right now.
Yeah, she's a little rock salty about this.
Yeah, the rockiest or rockest. I don't know what would be like the ist form of that.
Well, people that
honestly, I mean, just try it out.
Yeah, people that don't like rock salty, we call them friendle heels.
What?
We had a.
What is going on?
Did you ever read Friendle, Abby?
I don't think so.
Friendle is a book about a kid who decides that he wants to come up with a new word. So he starts calling his pen a Friendle, and it starts picking up steam, and his teachers are like, no, detention, 1,000 years detention. It's not a Friendle, it's a pen. And it's a book about, like, following your dreams and shit. And, like, at the end, spoilers for Friendle, the teacher that had pushed back really hard against Friendle sends him a copy of the Webster's Dictionary with Friendle in it, you know, because it's finally become a word. And in return, and she sends a note that's like, hey, I was only being a real heel about this because I wanted it to get more popular. And that's how things get popular, is by teachers railing against them. So he sends back a pencil that's like, this belongs to you and you can call it whatever you damn well please. And that's Friendle. So we were talking about, like, the teacher being the heel of Friendle. So you're being a real Friendle heel by not appreciating rock salty.
Wow. Okay.
I've broken Abby's brain.
You're like a little worm in an apple up there. Look at you, Jans. So yeah, wow, saying, I'm
you're
learning.
You're the Triple H of rock salty.
Okay. All right. I'll take it.
Is Triple H still a heel? Is that still a thing he does? He was the heel back when I was watching wrestling 400 years ago.
Back in Mesopotamian times, whenever Triple H was a heel.
Back in the Sumerian Valley.
Sorry. I wasn't one of the cool kids. I didn't watch wrestling. So, I mean, I did watch a lot of wrestling documentaries, however, because they're insanely entertaining. With how depressing they are. I mean, Jesus Christ, what is going on in the wrestling world?
Turns out when you get punched in the face and pile-drived into the ground for a living for like 30 years, it fucks you up a little.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Do you know how much cocaine you have to do to counteract the amount of beer that they drink while still being that fit and doing that many steroids? Like, it's such a delicate balance. And delicate is not the word. It's such a extreme, like, consumption of various different substances to get there. And at the end, you're like, wow, I guess I'm messed up now.
Every wrestling documentary is like, it starts with a highlight of like this 265-pound dude, like, glistening, doing wrestling moves and like cutting promos. And then it like cuts to a little stage, little sound stage where they're recording interviews, and they bring the same dude out, but now he looks like the Crypt Keeper wearing a 3 sizes too large South Pole t-shirt.
Yeah.
He's like,
it's like, it always like, it like starts off with like the glamour shots of them when they were younger and like smash cuts to them like passed out outside their trailer. Like, it's always like really depressing.
Just like 95 pounds of scar tissue, man, is like, oh yeah, I did a lot of pile drivers in my day.
Yeah, I watched the Resurrection of Jake the Snake, which is about Jacob the Snakeab and his like journey through recovery. And Mr. Snake was not doing so well. And he gets picked up by another wrestler who runs like a recovery program, like for wrestlers. And like, so they have this like sober house for wrestlers, and they like go and they like pick up other wrestlers while they're doing it. And like, it's such a problem in the wrestling community that they have their own version of AA for it, basically.
I imagine, like, they're in the common room of the Vince McMahon home for disabled wrestlers, and some guy starts yelling at another guy, and the orderly's running, and it's like, hey, no cutting promos in here, goddammit!
Yeah.
All the chairs have to be bolted to the floor, like, all the folding chairs and, like, the tables have to be unbreakable. Because they'll fall back into old habits. You got to get away from wrestling completely.
I don't like sports documentaries, but I will watch the shit out of some wrestling and boxing documentaries. I don't even really like MMA documentaries because usually those guys lead too clean of a life because, like, well, except for Conor McGregor, who now can't win. But, like, usually, like, sports, the ethos around sports has changed. Like, it used to be, you know, like, Babe Ruth used to, like, walk out smoking a cigar and he was, like, the fattest man on the planet and he could just, like, bat bread balls into, like, the distance, and then they like all got like really into steroids, and but like steroids came with like a party lifestyle of like cocaine and shit, and nowadays a lot of MMA like fighters have to like live relatively clean in order to like be competitive because it's such a competitive scene now. I don't like that. I want to watch a boxing documentary where there's some amateur boxer like killed a guy by injecting mercury into his gloves, and like that was just how shit rolled in the 80s. And, like, he celebrated by, like, eating a methamphetamine sandwich. Like, that's the kind of sports documentary I don't want to watch. And I want to see his life 40 years later as he's, like, in shambles, like, living in the basement of some gym as the janitor.
This doesn't really sound so much like a short series, but more like a movie.
That's what I'm saying. It's like a documentary. It's called Murder in the Ring.
It is very good. Yeah, I've seen that one. But now I like how baseball players started just like getting jacked on steroids and shit, trying to break the records of a man who never worked out a day in his life and could just hit a ball really far. Right? Like if Babe Ruth was alive today, he'd be like, "They're doing what? I don't fucking care." And then he'd eat like 6 chili dogs.
Yeah, eating like pork shoulder sandwich in the dugout, like right before he went to hit his ball. Like he still had his bib on and like barbecue sauce on his chin. Like that's sports, sir.
I have a question. So if athletes, like their thing is like steroids, right? Yeah. Is gamers' thing like
and
G Fuel?
Amphetamines.
Like would that be like
most pro gamer organizations do out of competition drug testing for Adderall and other like amphetamines. Speed.
Honestly, if social media is anything to tell, the thing that gives gamers their power is 16-year-olds on Discord.
Oh yikes. Shit. Shots fired.
Shots fired to all the weirdos out there. Stop being weird.
I was trying to go a whole podcast without talking about the G Fuel because it's become like a running joke, my enjoyment of G Fuel. I know that it hurts Abby physically. Like
it does. I feel like I'm getting some sort of disease just seeing screenshots of his endless stack of G Fuel.
The other day, I woke up at about, it was about 7 in the morning. I walked into my living room, and there's a big like window on one side of my living room, and Abby was standing outside with a sign that just said wheatgrass smoothie, and I don't know what that meant, but I shut my blinds really fast. No, I'm just.
And then he ran back to his closet and like sat in the fetal position with his like 10 G Fuels that he currently has right now, and he's like, "Don't let her make you feel bad.
Don't judge me."
And just rocks back and forth.
They had a Black Friday buy one get one sale. You know what? The real gamer way to take G Fuel is don't even put the powder into a drink; just snort it directly into the bloodstream.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like the steroids of casual gaming.
I don't think I've actually ever had G Fuel before.
Don't do it.
Okay, we haven't. Neither have I.
So, like, one of our community members, who is a friend of mine, he was like, "Hey, have you tried G Fuel?" And I was like, "I don't know what that is. That sounds like some nerd shit." And he's like, "Well, it's 15 calories a serving, and it's just got like low-level nootropics and some vitamins in it, and it's whatever." He's like, "But it's better than soda." And I was like, "Okay, I'll try it out." So I bought some, and I was like, "Oh, this is actually fire. You just mix it with water. It's fine." And yeah, it is 15 calories a serving, so much better than the 140 calories in, like, a can of Coke. And they have so many flavors that you just want to try a bunch of different flavors. But now I'm being demonized by the health people.
Did you get the chili dog flavored one?
No, I want G Fuel that I'll actually drink. Like, there's people out there that will buy every flavor that comes out to add to like some weird G Fuel shrine in their house. I just buy stuff that looks tasty, and I'm like, okay, I'll drink that. I haven't had a soda in, like, 3 months. I've not.
If Indie Mouse ever gets one, I would probably check that
out. Oh, yeah, I was just watching his new video about Dead Estate, and he was shilling for G Fuel.
He always does. He always has a little joke about, like, Dead Rat flavor G Fuel or something. He's always got something.
I don't know. Ooh. Compared to stuff like Monster Energy drinks and things like that, it's a better alternative. So if I'm gonna say right now, and I'm not being paid to say this, I will drink either water or G Fuel now, and like that's it. And it's all so tasty, and I want a Dread X flavor.
I don't know what the flavor would be.
I don't know, Ted. You started the company. What's the Dread XP G Fuel flavor?
It would have to be something like, you know, blood orange. You know, like blood orange. Yeah, right.
Oh, but
probably like donut G Fuel.
Yeah, they're releasing confetti cake for Christmas.
Bones. It tastes like bones.
You know, if Jan's had his own G Fuel, it would be like lake water or something, because he really likes fishing.
Oh, hell yeah.
Be like fishy lake water G Fuel.
Crushed bone powder.
Kind of tastes like a really rotten miso soup, essentially.
Bone meal. Gross. For your plants.
So,
did I tell you what I wanted to add to the bins, like, for the, if I was going to...
G Fuel?
Yeah, I was going to turn all the water into G Fuel. I was going to add a bunch of, like, spear mechanics and make a segment where you have to hunt that giant spider thing.
I want to play that. You should probably do that since you're not going to join the jam.
Right?
But as...
I did tell Cody to just, like, submit the bins.
Yeah, she was like, just resubmit it.
And instead of the bins with an S at the end, do a Z, so, like, nobody will suspect anything.
The hard-hitting early...
Yeah, but, like, not change the like the ending after credit sequence at all. Just like leave that still spelled the same way.
Yeah. Perfect. I think you should do it just to do it.
So as we're coming up on the end of our hour, let's do the thing. Cody, where can we find you on the internet at large?
So I would say the majority be Twitter, and you can find me on there at Phantom Sloth, but it's spelled with zeros instead of O's. But once you're there, there's this little wonderful thing called a link tree that leads to like 10 different websites. So if your flavor is more like YouTube, Discord, Twitch, Giphy, my Giphy's lit. Nobody knows about it. Nobody ever goes to it, but it has all of my stuff for like... The entire time that I've been doing stuff, you can go through my entire history of GIFs, which is, like, endless. But, yeah.
You heard it here first. Cody has a fire Giphy. Go check it out. And
mm-hmm. What's a JFIF file? What's, like, a JFIF file? Abby kept sending those earlier, and I don't know what that file format is. I know of GIF. I know of JPEG, but JFIF is new to me.
JFIF.
Move over, GIF. We now have JFIF.
Yeah, I've seen it before, but like I never actually work with it. Back when I was in school, I had a class where I had to like take a test on all the different files, and I knew at that point. But since then, I have forgotten. Sorry, Ted.
If anyone knows, this is our call to action. We should do that. We should have more call to actions. If anyone knows what a JFIF is, please post
1-800. We need
go to our Twitter JFIF. DM HYHP, which is the guy that runs Horror Played at Horror Played. DM him with what a JFIF is, so you can bring it back for our next gamer safety update.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it'll be safety related, but yeah, do that.
It's definitely safety related. We need to spread awareness about this weird file format.
Abby, where can people find you on the internet at large?
You can find me on Twitter at ScrunchOG, also on Instagram, scruncho.speakeasy, and on Discord on the Dread server, too.
Also,
I'm everywhere.
Also, I'll promote Abby since she refuses to do it. She's got an album coming out and it's fucking fire.
Oh, thanks, Jans. Yeah, it's coming out. We should be finishing it the end of the year, but we want to like finalize it and everything, and then it'll be coming out like literally right at the start of January. So I'm very excited about it.
And where
awesome.
Can we find our reclusive leader, Ted Henschke?
Red Henschke, right? I think that's what I hardly ever tweet. I posted about calories the other day. It's the most interaction I've ever. I actually lost a follower over that tweet. I think someone like realized I still exist and was like, oh, I need to unfollow this guy. But you should just find me at DreadXP_, because that's usually where I'm at. But I'm going to be trying to tweet more because I don't know. Why not? What the fuck else am I going to do with my time? Did you know that Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 through 5 are on Shudder right now? We got to watch
that. Oh, yeah, for sure. Movie night. Ted did talk about calories. I retweeted it to the official accounts because I was like, you know what? This is a good point. And then a bunch of people were explaining it in the comments, and I was like, oh, that takes away the magic.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Anywho, yeah, that's me.
Yeah, and for me, you can tell me what a Jafif is at Horror Played on Twitter. Most of the time, though, you're going to find me on DreadXP_, same as Ted. You can follow DreadXP on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. On Instagram and TikTok, it is under DreadXP Games. There's some fantastic content there, if that's what you like. We're also on Facebook, if you're Polish. Like two people get that, like the Polish and Facebook thing.
I'm part Polish.
Oh, then you understand
it's me. I get it.
I have a Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't like to use it, but it's there.
That's like most of us. you should have heard Jans when Ted was like, all right, Jans, we gotta have a Facebook presence. And he was literally like,
it was pretty good.
I just get to see how creative like name spellings get in Poland because the Polish love our Facebook page. That's why I keep it updated.
It's just for them.
Yeah, it's just for them. It's just for the Polish. No one else allowed on our Facebook page.
All our posts are going to be in Polish from now
on. From now on, yeah. It's our Polish outreach program. But also, two more things while I'm doing promotional plugs. We have a game coming out. December 15th, you can get the original Sucker for Love, previously seen in DreadX Collection 2, for free on Steam. It's Sucker for Love Prelude. You're going to want to play it. And then, January 13th, we are releasing Sucker for Love First Date, the standalone Sucker for Love experience. You're going to want to play it. And the other thing is, we are running a game jam right now. The Dread XP Dredge the Depth Jam starts December 10th, in 2 days. We'll have a 10-day submission period. Get in there, make a game for us, and let us enjoy it. Those are your promotional things for today. Thank you so much for coming to this podcast. Why am I talking like that? Thank you so much for coming to this podcast.
You're doing it, y'all. Cody, you're doing it.
Play us out.
Nailing it. DJ, hit that fat beat! Yeah.